1 Samuel, and then Rod will bring us a reading from Mark. And after that, Daniel will come and speak to us from those readings.
When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they'll run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plough his ground and reap his harvest. And still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain, of your vintage, and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king that you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we shall be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. And the Lord answered him, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Everyone is to go back to his town."
This reading is from Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 42, and it's on page 1015 in your pew Bibles. Jesus called his disciples together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. And let me add my welcome to Steve's, and particularly welcome if you're joining us on the live stream. Before we begin, I need a couple of volunteers just to hold an envelope and look at its contents later in the sermon. Any volunteers? Henry's already got one. Keith, there you go. Just look after it for now, and I'll tell you when it's time to open it. Oh, excellent. Can you look after that for me? And I'll tell you when to look inside, okay? Keep it secret at the moment. Let me pray for us as we look at God's word together. Father in heaven, we thank you that whatever was written in the past was written for our learning. We thank you that the whole Bible is breathed out by your Spirit for our learning. And we pray that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts now, helping us to see what we need to learn from this passage, showing us ourselves, convicting us, changing us, pointing us to your Son. We ask this in his name. Amen. This microphone is quite crackly. I'd be grateful if you could turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Looking back through past term cards, it seems as though in the mists of time, you had a series looking at Samuel in chapters 1 to 7. And so this time I thought we'd pick up on the beginning of Saul's reign in chapters 8 and following. Let me begin by asking you, do you find it hard to stand out as a Christian? Or if you're thinking about the Christian faith, does the prospect of standing out put you off? It is hard standing out, isn't it? We so easily think that we're only going to get on well in life if we fit in with everyone else, if we have what everyone else has. If we live the same way as everyone else, if we speak the same way as everyone else, if we go to all the things that everyone else goes to, if we watch all the same things, read all the same things, we only think that we'll get on well in our lives if we don't stick our heads above the parapet. It's hard. Well, our reading is about people who don't want to stick out. I'm going to hear more about what happens to them. I really do need another microphone, I think. So in 1 Samuel chapter 8, we see a people who want to fit in, and we see what happens to them. So let's learn what God's word has to say about that. Just some context, first of all. Samuel was born at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 1. You might remember that his mother wasn't able to have children, so she went to the temple and prayed to the Lord and said, "If you give me a son, I will dedicate him to your service for the whole of his life. And the Lord gives her a son, and his mother Hannah dedicates Samuel to the Lord for the whole of his life. We'll fast forward to chapter 7, and Samuel is leading Israel, and Samuel prays for Israel. And when Samuel prays, when Israel has to fight battles against their enemies, the Philistines, the Lord fights for his people and defeats their enemies, and they have peace. So Samuel's leading Israel, he prays for them, the Lord fights for them and gives them peace. But that can't go on forever. And so we begin in chapter 8, verse 1, Samuel grows old. And we see the injustice we suffer. The injustice we suffer. Samuel can no longer carry on ruling Israel himself. He needs help. And so he thinks it's a good idea to appoint his sons to be judges with him. And he's used to go around the whole of Israel, but he stays in one place and he puts his sons in the other. But his sons aren't like him. They don't walk in his ways. They turn aside. After dishonest gain, they accept bribes and perverted justice. And this is something we know about from contemporary life, don't we? I'm sure we know the headlines about a politician who might accept a gift of a holiday or some present in order to advance the cause of some interest group. Or maybe we hear of a judge who receives a sum of money in order to rule in a certain way in a particular case or to give a lighter sentence. Or if you're at school, think about this situation. Maybe you're being bullied, but your bully's parents are quite wealthy, and your bully's parents speak to the teacher and they say, "Don't punish my son for bullying. Here, look, have some money or have this gift." The injustice we suffer. It's a situation that was the case then. It affects us now. And so you can understand why the people want something to happen. And so they come to Samuel and they point out that he's old, his sons don't walk in his ways, and they make a request. But their request shows the God we reject. The God we reject. Look at verse 5. Now appoint us a king to lead us, such as all the nations have. So they want a king, and part of the role of this king is going to be to rule them in a way that doesn't turn aside justice. But we get more of his role in verse 20. They also want a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. Well, who was leading them and fighting their battles before? It was God. So they're wanting this king to replace God. They are now rejecting God as their ruler and wanting a human ruler instead. That's part of what they're doing. But they're also wanting to fit in. They want a king such as all the other nations have. And that phrase is used a number of times, like the other nations. They don't trust in God anymore to save them. And so what happens is they try and fit in with those around them. And they look for the same solutions as those around them. They're going to wonder, what are the ways in which we fail to trust God to protect us and save us, and so try to fit in with our world. Maybe in our behaviour we don't behave differently to those around us. Maybe in the things that we say we're not different, or we think that we're only going to get on in life if we go to all these activities and succeed in that way. Or if we spend our money in this way. Or if we go to all these places. We fail to trust God and we behave like everyone else around us. Maybe something to talk about at home over lunch is what are the ways in which we're tempted to blend in with those around us? The God we reject. The problem isn't that they have a king. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you look that up, Moses anticipates the people asking for a king like the other nations, but the king they're to have isn't to be like the other nations, isn't to acquire lots of wealth and a big army and horses and wives and things. But they want a king like the other nations. The God we reject. And so then the Lord tells Samuel to tell them the king they will receive. The king they will receive. And we're looking at verses 10 to 22. For those who are interested in such things, there's some wordplay going on here. So in verse 5, the people ask for a king to lead them. And the word for lead there is the same as the word for judge. Like the Judges, the book of Judges. That's not just judging in a law case, but leading the people. Appoint a king to judge us. And verse 11, this is what the king who will reign over you will do. Literally, this is the justice of the king. You want a king to judge you? This is how he's going to judge you. Okay, you want a judge? This is his justice. Just look at verses 11 to 17. And just look and see what word is repeated again and again and again. It's there in verse 11. It's there in verse 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. What word is it? I heard it whispered somewhere. Take. Yes, take. He will take, 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 he will take. I counted it 6 times. Now is the time for our envelopes. Henry, what is in your envelope? What have you got in there?
Grapes.
Okay. Can you count how many cards you have in there? And hold... Stand up and hold them up. 10. Hold them up. I think I'm going to take one of those because I'm going to need people to work for me and they're going to need some grapes to make wine so they can drink. Okay? I'll take one of those. Okay, who's got an envelope? Right, can you open it? See what's inside. What have you got there? You've got some wheat. Can you count how many cards there are? I think. Ten. I've got people working for me. They need bread, so they're going to need some wheat. So I'm going to take one of those. There we go. And Keith, I think you have the last envelope. What do we have in there?
I've got 10 sheep.
You've got 10 sheep.
And you're going to nick one of them, aren't you?
I'm going to take one of those. I want the wool for myself and probably some tasty lamb as well. Okay, so the king will take... He's going to need an army, so he's going to need people to fight for him. He's going to need people to command the army. So he's going to take people to be in his army. He's going to need people to till his crops, to grow crops for him, and to feed his those who work for him. And he's going to need people to make weapons. And he's going to need people to cook the food that's been harvested and bake for him. And as we've seen, he's going to need to feed those who work for him. And so he gives them fields and vineyards and olive groves and gives them to his attendants. Now just imagine that you've worked really, really hard to grow really good quality crops and you want to sit back and enjoy them. And suddenly, the very best is taken away from you by this king who's going to enjoy it for himself or give it to those who work for him. And in those days, most people survived by having their own farms, and they needed their families and everyone with them to work on the farm, their children, those who worked for them. And now suddenly the king is taking the people away to work for him, so you've got less help, and you're doing it all on your own. So I took 1 out of 10 of those grapes and the wheat and the flocks. Who else in the Bible gets a tenth of something? Who else in the Bible gets a tenth of something? Does anyone know? Anthony? God gets a tenth. We give a tenth of our produce to God in the Old Testament to provide for those who serve him in the temple. God gets the tenth. So the king is putting himself on the same level as God by taking all this from his people. Well, the way that we're governed has changed. The way that we live has changed. But we still need people to rule over us. We still have armies, and they need to be fed. We don't give them crops anymore or sheep anymore. We give them money. Children, if you ask your parents, well, does anyone happen to know what the average percentage tax rate is in the UK? Anyone happen to know? So the average tax, according to the OECD, is 23.3%. Okay? So children, if you ask your parents, I think they would be happy to pay as little tax as a tenth. But that's the situation that we live in. And look at how that condition is described at the end of verse 17. You yourselves will become his slaves. The people were slaves. They were rescued from slavery in Egypt, and they're brought out of slavery. But now they've rejected God as their king. They want a human king, and so they've been brought back into slavery again. But that doesn't put the people off. They say, no, we want a king. And so the Lord gives them a king. And maybe the fact that we don't feel as though we're in slavery, that we don't cry out for relief, like it says in verse 18, means maybe we're overly familiar with this condition that we're in. But the Lord gives them the king that they ask for. And that is how God often works in the Bible. We reject him, and so he gives us what we want. One place we see that is in Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul in Romans says that although human beings know God from the world that's been made, we didn't give him the glory he deserves. We don't give thanks to him for all that he gives us. And so he gave us over to what is wrong. 3 times in Romans 1, he gave us over. He gave them over. He gave them over. We reject God and he gives us over to our sin. People reject God as their king. He gives them over. But we have a different king. This is where we come to our New Testament reading, Mark chapter 10. And in verse 42, this is on page 1015, Jesus describes kings like the kings of the other nations. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Take, take, take. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And why is that? Verse 45, the example of Jesus himself. For even the Son of Man, a title for God's king in the Old Testament, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to take. Jesus came to give. And what he came to give was himself. And he gives his life as a ransom for many. We're enslaved to our rebellion against God, rejecting him as our king. We're enslaved to the consequences of that. We need to be set free. And Jesus' death on the cross pays the price that sets his people free. He is the king who leads us into battle against our enemies of death and hell and defeats them. And so we need to trust in him as our king, and not in the kings which are like the kings of the nations. We need to live under his rule and stand out as we live for him. We're going to be sharing the Lord's Supper later in the service. And in the Lord's Supper, we remember that we have a king who is not like the kings of the other nations. We remember that he came to give himself by his death on the cross to ransom us. And so as we eat the bread and drink the wine, he came to give himself. So let's receive him and the life he came to give and the ransom he gives us. Let's trust in him. And then let's go from here, resolved to stand out for him. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we cry out that we live in a world that is full of injustice, and yet we ourselves reject your rule over our lives. We fail to trust you. We fail to stand out from the world around us. We thank you that in your mercy you sent your Son into the world to be a king not like the kings of the other nations, but who came to give. Give us all grace to trust in him as our king, to live under his rule, and to stand out for him. Amen.